Sunday morning link for on Zoom. Wednesday, 10 a.m. coffee morning in the church. Saturday, 10 a.m. joint prayer meeting at Carey. Next Sunday, our service is taken by Susan Deacon. And just to let you know, Sheila Farrer has moved from Kettering General Hospital to Eyesbrook Hospital for rehabilitation. So thanks for all your prayers and keep them going. And now I'll speak.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to be here again. Like I said before, my wife sends her apologies. She's very much involved. The church is about the same, maybe a little bit bigger than your church here, and she's involved in the audiovisual side, so she actually has to stay over. But she just sent her love. So we are here to worship God. Yeah, I don't know what kind of a week you've had. Whether you've had a difficult one, whether you've had an up and down one, but hopefully God has been with you, or you've felt God with you. And especially now, we're here in the house of God to worship Him. And I'd like us to join together with a call to worship. So, let's have a look. Here we go. It works. That's good, isn't it? So, what we've got words in light type, and we've also got words in bold as well. Okay, so if I say the words in light, and if we join together with the words in bold. How good it is to sing praises to our God. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He heals the brokenhearted. He determines the number of stars. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. Amen. And we'll begin our worship now, or continue our worship, with two songs. And the first one is Come People of the Risen King. It's a good lively song, so if you're feeling you've got some energy, if you'd like to stand, if you haven't got any energy yet, just wait until it comes. No, feel them free. We're in the house of the Lord. Let's then worship together.
Thank you. going to sing another song now. Come, now is the time. Before we do that, I don't know if you were, when we were singing this last song, I just had there's a certain verse in it that talks about everybody singing, yeah, God's people singing. And a picture came to me, which is an old picture, a painting that was painted around the time or about the time of Wycliffe. It works. And Wycliffe was a chap who wrote the Bible. And there's this wonderful picture when he sent out his kind of followers to share the Bible. And they were called Lollards. And there's a wonderful picture of all different types of people worshipping God together, because that's what they did. They read God's word and they worshipped. Let us continue and do just that.
Father, we thank you that we can meet together this morning. Lord, we rejoice that we're part of what you are doing in this world. Lord, if we come this morning feeling a bit tired, I pray that you would stir us up and give us energy, revitalize our worship, Lord. Maybe even as we're tired, allow us still to enter in and to connect with you, because in doing that, Lord, we are blessed. And we thank you for that. We thank you for who we are in you. We thank you for friends. We thank you for the fellowship here of believers, people who love you, who have found you, and are on that same journey. So, Lord, inhabit everything we do this morning. Inhabit the praise and worship. Inhabit our thoughts. Inhabit everything, Lord. And may you be glorified in all. For you are good. And you are God. Amen. go, that's it, it's worked again, eventually. I've actually got one of those in my bag here, okay, so we've got a microscope. I'm looking around, we haven't got too many children, but don't worry, it's a kind of an all-age talk. So. We don't need children to have fun, do we? Okay, so we've got a microscope here, so we can look at things in fine detail, yeah? And the title, Wonderfully Made. Well, we're going to focus on ourselves, actually. We're going to look at a few pictures that have been taken with a microscope. Sometimes an optical one, and sometimes I think there's one with a scanning electron microscope, which is quite good. Let's have a look here. Now, I'm just hopefully... Actually, could you manage to do it on as needed? That'd be great. I'm still learning how to do this. So the first one shows you, what do you think? Red blood. That's amazing. That's amazing. You all got it right. You all said the same thing. Yeah. So that's a picture of some red blood cells. Now I do actually use this, and as a tutor, I've been a teacher for years, but I do tuition now, and.
Science is my main subject. I do maths and English, so if you are interested, no. I'm not trying to sell any. I've got plenty of work. But actually, one of the things I enjoy doing is actually looking at blood. And that picture there is very, very much what you could get with this. Very, very easy. You just need a very small amount of blood. And the amazing thing that you can't see there is that it would all be moving around as well, even on the slide. Amazing. And lots of red blood cells. They look a bit like dermats, don't they? Yeah, they do. And actually, the reason is because they haven't got a nucleus. Every single cell in your body has got a nucleus, apart from a red blood cell. A nucleus contains things like DNA. Basically, it's the genetic blueprint for you, except for the red blood cell, because it needs a bit of extra space. Because does anybody know the main job that a red blood cell does? Carries oxygen, so it needs more space for it. Yeah. So there you go, there's a picture for red blood cells. So if you do ever want to see that yourself, just get a microscope. Any will do in general, except the very, very cheapest, and you can get a good picture of that. Now let's have the next one. Not quite. I think there should be another one before that. There we go. We've gone to it already, but it's fine. So we basically, he actually should have had the strand and then he guessed what it was, but never mind. I think we moved a bit fast for that one. But basically, you've basically got a strand of hair. Now, I was going to get you to guess what that is, but I won't do that now. So, now you could guess what colour hair that would be, because I've also looked at that as a tutor. What do you think? It actually is, yeah. I actually did it with a chap who had ginger hair, and it actually does look like that. There is a bit of a difference, and yeah, it actually would be red hair, that one. So yeah, and the next one, but without the answer. Excellent, there you go. Save the best to last. Now, I'm going to give a few clues to this one, okay? So, first off, I wonder if you can see the coloured parts of Maybe that's a clue. What do you think it is?
Is it stomach lining or gut lining?
It could be, but the clue was in what I said. Can you see the coloured parts of it? It is part of the eye. Yeah. Do you want to move it on? Yeah. It is actually a rod and cone cells at the back of the eye. So the back of the eye, you've got the retina. And I think you've got more rods, which generally look at black and white and shades. And then you've got some cones, which are probably the orangey or the pinky ones. Depends if you're colourblind or not, doesn't it, really? But so you've actually got fewer of those. But it's amazing. And you can actually see that. And that's how we see. So do you want to pass on to the next? So there you go. So there's a nice verse connected with this, of course. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You know, it's a thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing that God knows us. And intimately. Yeah? We'll look later on with the main message. How God even knew us before we were born. He had us in his mind and thinking. And we are wonderfully made. You know, like you gathered, I'm a scientist as well. I've done various scientific work. Done a little bit of research even. Developed some rust events for road cars once. That didn't help them, did it? Exactly. Yeah, I know. They were actually good end cars. But the thing about science today, and particularly in education, but actually in society around, is that we're bombarded with a materialistic worldview. And everything has a reason. And think about evolution and all those kind of things. I would just say for certainty that often what is presented to you as certainties, right, and a non-supernatural, i.e. God explanation for why we're here and how we're made, isn't often as strong as what they make out. Yeah? There are many, many questions. In fact, at the single cell, they don't fully know everything, how it works. I mean, they've discovered a lot recently, but there's many, many mysteries. And just the fact that a single cell could form is virtually impossible. So if you check that out and you want to, there's some good videos online about that. But they don't teach that at school, and they don't show that on television programs. Be encouraged, really. Our God is our creator, yeah? There may be scientific principles and mechanisms that God uses, perhaps, but it's not as certain as what you think, not as certain as God, not as certain as your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what I found, and that's what I'd like to encourage you to believe as well. But believe only when you check it out yourself. We need to do that today. But we are wonderfully made, and that's undeniable, isn't it? We're going to sing another song now, Colours of the Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we're going to have another time of prayer. I'll introduce the prayer, but then I would like you to join in. We've heard a few things about people in the fellowship this morning as well, and perhaps one or two would like to pray for those things, because you know these people intimately. I think there was Sheila and Bill, and there was another person, wasn't there? Charles. Where's her, Charles? Are you here? Good morning. Good morning, Charles. And good to have you here. It's amazing what they can do with the NHS, isn't it? At times they can do things well. Good. Okay, let us pray. Father, we do thank you that our lives are in your hands. And we thank you that you hear our prayers and that you answer them in your most wise and gracious and often generous ways. So now, Lord, we bring before you thoughts, concerns, requests of your people, Lord, because we know you are a God without limit. You are a God whose resources are unlimited. And you are a God who wants to give good gifts to your people. So, Lord, we pray for the people that were just mentioned just now. And you know their situations, Lord. You know what they're going through and how they need your help. We also thank you for the work that you are doing in their lives as well. Also, we're also aware, Lord, that that you are a God who knows us intimately and deeply, everything that's going on in our lives. Let's just spend a moment bringing to God in quiet thought and prayer any requests, any things that you know that you need God to help you with. Maybe you've had a difficult week at work. Maybe you're finding other things difficult, maybe health issues, like we've just talked about. Just bring them to God now, for he cares and he hears and he answers prayer.
Generally, in my opinion, she's very poorly, and
We thank you, Lord, for you are good. Amen. If you'd like to stand for the next song, I am a new creation. I am a new creation. Our reading. This is from Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 19. You can just watch here, can you? Or follow it in a book if you've got a book. Or you can just listen. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. It is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. Some encouraging words there, aren't there? Hey? Praise God for the power of God's word to impact our thinking and our hearts as well. So, the message today, we've entitled it, Our Identity in Christ. That essentially is what this passage is about, our identity. And you know what? It really is a topic that needs to be considered, I think, in these days. Many in this generation suffer from identity confusion. When asked, who are you? They cannot answer. They do not know where their values come from either. Some even question the most basic things about themselves, like those who suffer from gender dysphoria and don't even know if they are male or female. Therapists today can add to the confusion because of guidance that often tells them they must actively agree with somebody's sense of identity, including minors, including young children, not those who did coal. Including young children, and you've got to go along with what a person's view of themselves is. Yeah? I mean, I didn't write this down originally, but they even go so far as to say that you must be affirming. And some schools actually have got policies on this, where if a child identifies as an animal, they call them fairies. You can check that out. Not fairy, but furries. Yeah, really. It is a real thing. And they've got to affirm this, and even go in so far as surgery and life-changing hormones. So we live in an interesting time, a strange time, as far as identity is concerned. I think that's undeniable, yeah? As followers of the way, Christians called by God, we need to know who we are. We really do. Our children should know this also, and also be helped to know who they are. It is such an important topic. Otherwise, what's going to happen? Well, we'll be led by society, a confused society, an increasingly secular, an increasingly atheist, chaotic and confusing world. As Christians, we need to consider these things. I believe that as we do, God will lift us up, God will encourage us, God will give us strength, both now and in the days ahead. Not to be victims of society or events, but rather to be people who know who we are and why we're here. It was said by C.S. Lewis that all people have a God-shaped hole in their souls that need filling. Or he said something about that. I think it was in Mere Christianity, very, very good book of his. He, as well as writing about the Narnia stories, he was also a very good theologian as well, and a literary genius, actually. But yeah, so, and I think that's true. I think it was Augustine and Blaise Pascal who said similar things as well. Blaise Pascal was one of the best scientists and mathematicians a couple of hundred years ago, and Augustine, thousands of years ago, was one of the most important thinkers of the early Christian church. So this is something which is well known. People do have something missing. We do. Before I was a Christian, I lived my life, I enjoyed day by day, but I knew there was something lacking. I knew there was something more. Perhaps that's why I became eventually a scientist. Before becoming a Christian, well, about the same time actually. But really, we do have this need for identity, because there's something inside us that tells us that there's more. Yeah? We're here today. I'm hoping that each and every one of us knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. Because that really is the thing that fills the void. We're here today, which is good. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, though, So we're going to delve into something that is a blessing and has a solution of what is lacking in today's world. We will see that by looking at the Bible and by looking at who God is, who we are in relationship to Him, we will find answers both now and for the days ahead. So, let's just think of our reading a little bit, or maybe actually before that. Let's go back in time, because our reading was talking about who we are. Yeah, let's go back in time to Genesis. In fact, okay. Firstly, humans are created in God's image. Yeah, amazing that, isn't it? Out of all of God's creation, nowhere does it say that anything else is created and has that special connection to God. Yeah? We're not talking about angels. Angels, it doesn't say that angels are created in God's image. It doesn't say that cats or dogs are, but it does about humans. In 1 Genesis 27, it reads, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them." Okay. We are the pinnacle and the best of God's creation. A little bit later on in Genesis, God gives Adam and Eve to each other. Gives man to the woman and the woman to the man. This is at the very beginning of God's grand design and plan on earth. Even after sin comes into the world, men and women pair up and families develop. In the New Testament, we see how marriage between a man and a woman is especially promoted by God and valued by Jesus. Yeah, it was Jesus who said that divorce shouldn't be so easy, you know, that you should only separate when things are very serious. In those days, people could divorce very easily. And Jesus definitely confirmed the importance of marriage by saying, hey, look, this is important. This is something good. And you're entering into a special relationship. So, yeah. So marriage is promoted by God and valued by Jesus. That's part of our identity as the human race, actually. Yeah. We are individuals, interestingly, but we are also social beings as well, aren't we? We're in relationships. A little bit like God Himself, if you think about it. Yeah. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In some ways, individual aspects of God. In fact, but they're all in communion together, aren't they? They're all in relationship with each other. That's how we're made. In Ephesians, the special relationship of marriage is seen as a metaphor that even reflects upon the relationship between Christ and His church. Listen to chapter 5, verse 31 to 32 of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to..." maybe go back to the original picture and just leave that on until at the end. Okay, yeah, that's it. Thank you. And his church in chapter 5, so of Paul to the letter to the Ephesians, it reads here, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. In today's world, the institution of marriage is under attack. I don't know if you've noticed that. Have you noticed that? Yeah? This whole thing about gender is actually part of it. Yeah? People don't need to marry. I've actually got a niece, and she's with a girlfriend. And they're going to have a baby as well. So, you know, this traditional idea of a man and a woman marrying together, raising a family, is under attack, and it's affecting those around us, including those we love and those we cherish. Yeah, it is there. Now, sound a bit harsh, but, you know, it's total rubbish, of course. Marriage is a popular attack target. It's often painted as a patriarchal thing, you know, set up to benefit men. Shouldn't be. It's anything but that, in truth. Often, it is, essentially, I'll tell you now that if you look at the communist manuals of how to destabilize a society to foster a revolution towards an atheistic state, one of the tenets is to set people against each other and to break down the pillars that are strong in that society. And one of the strongest ones is marriage. So it's no wonder they're attacking it. Yeah? Be aware of these things. I'm not saying socialism is wrong in itself, but atheistic socialism, which is where it ultimately leads, is definitely not going to be helpful in the future or at any time in history. God calls us to be his children. In a marriage, often there are children, aren't there? And this is how we read how God views Christians when we commit our lives to following Jesus. From the start of our reading this morning, it talks about these things. I'll just read again. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption, when we cry, Abba, Father. It is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Are you feeling a bit old this morning? I do at times, yeah. It's surprising that it catches up with you. For years and years you're thinking, oh, this is good. God's made me really strong, you know, can exercise and do all sorts of. Then suddenly it's like, I'm starting to feel a bit old here. My bones are creaking a bit, yeah? Okay, but nevertheless, you know, we are children before God, before the Almighty Father, the Eternal One. You know, how long have we lived? A maximum of 80, 90 years. I won't say who the oldest one in the church is, but you know, it's nothing, is it? It is but a whisper, really. I think it was Tolkien who said that humans have, I think he was talking about stories, about made-up things. It's in the books that are before the Lord of the Rings. And he talks about humans, and I think even though it's made up, I think what he says is true about humans. And I think it was an elf who was talking about humans, and he said, humans are interesting and strange, because although they're very mortal and they don't live long, they have eternity in their souls. And I think we do. So I think all of us are young at heart in that sense. I think that's true. We might not feel it at times, but we are children of God. What I think is amazing is that God planned and knew about us as well, before we turned to him or were even born. That's amazing, isn't it? That God thought about you and had a special plan for you before you were born, before you turned to him. Amazing that. I find it amazing myself when I look at myself and I know myself and I'm thinking, really, God? I'm special? Well, do you know what? Yeah, you are special. God knows what he's doing. And we're going to look at that in a bit more depth as well. Later on, it talks about being heirs with God in the future as well. But yeah, it is amazing. In Ephesians, it reads, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption into sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. That's encouraging, isn't it? Yeah? So God had you in mind from the very beginning. Reading on in our passage, it goes further. And like I said, it talks about us being heirs of God. Yeah? Verse 17 reads, "And if children, then heirs," and heirs, I have to pronounce that correctly. Do you know what I mean? Heirs, as in, you know, a person who basically inherits or who's part of something bigger. Yeah? Not hairs on the head. Just making that clear, because my pronunciation isn't always that good. Okay. Coming from Hull and all that. Okay. It's amazing that God chose me, isn't it, really? There you go. It's amazing that he chooses any of us. So, yeah. So it says, let's just make sure I get the right piece here. Yeah. "And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer," this is getting a bit more serious now, "we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him." Yeah? Don't you think it's amazing that God does call us heirs? The creator of the universe lifts up his creation to join in with and rule in creation with Christ. So God created us, and then he involves us in ruling over creation, sharing that with us. The creator of the universe himself. I don't know about you, but the mystery of God's grace is immense. That God chose to include me in his royal family before I was born, before I turned to Christ. But we also see here that there will be persecution. Yeah, it does get a bit darker as well. If we live according to God's ways. Has anybody here ever been made fun of for being a Christian? Yeah, or for standing up for something that you know is God's way and others are going a different way and you felt that you couldn't keep quiet? There is a time to be quiet. Sometimes we can talk too much, but sometimes there's a time to speak. There's wisdom involved there as well. But really, yeah, I think all of us probably at some point have found it difficult. Maybe somebody has made fun of you, or maybe somebody is maybe antagonistic towards you, and you find out later it's because they hate God. Yeah? There's a lot of broken people out there. I see a lot of brokenness in the world around, and they often attribute it, well, you know, they attribute it to God, don't they? Yeah. If God exists, he's not a good God. And at times, those thoughts might even creep into our thinking. Yeah. Be assured. And we know the scripture, believe the scripture. God is good. God only gives good gifts to his children. There are things in the universe we don't know everything about. The problem of evil. Why anything evil exists. Yeah? There are things we don't know fully the answers. But what we do know is that God is good. And the picture that God gives us in Jesus is all we need to know that. There are reasons and there are things that you can say to people who doubt that God is good. Yeah? I haven't got time to go into that today in depth, but please do. Talk to me, or do research yourself into those things. Yeah? The problem of evil. Thomas Aquinas is quite good. He's a Catholic, but he's actually quite good. They called him the theological doctor. And there are others as well. Give you a hint, it's probably, I think, and many people think, that it's a lot to do with free will. Check it out yourself if you've got those questions. There are answers out there. But it is still, to some degree, a mystery as well. Okay? But what we do know is that God is good. But there will be persecution. Yeah. Perhaps people feeling embittered about the world around them. So they might attack you. And why? Why are they attacking you? Because this is part of your identity as well. You represent to them God. Yeah? When you say, "I believe in God, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ,"
Even in today's society, most people know what that means. They associate you with it.
And I think more and more in today's world, you're going to find that harder. You know, you're going to find that more difficult. I find it more difficult now to say that I'm a Christian than when I first started teaching 35 years ago. So it's a lot harder now to let people know. And at times I hold back more than I used to. In the 90s, it was quite easy for me to just let out during a science lesson, oh, I do actually believe in God. Maybe there's some question we're looking at, maybe a pupil mentioned something. And it was actually appropriate, and it was more readily accepted then. Today, less so. And I think more and more in the days ahead as well. So expect difficulties. Expect that. That's part of the deal, actually. And that's what this scripture says. It's knowing who you are. We've got to know who we are in the days ahead. And you know, it's a challenge, but it's also a good thing. I'm just going to give you a little story here. There's a story of a slave in the 18th century America who surprised those who oversaw the work that was being done on the plantation by other people as well, other slaves. And they were just surprised at how hard he worked, day in, day out. One day, they asked the other slaves why he worked so hard, and they were told that in his own country, he was a prince. And because of this, he believed that he needed to act like a prince, and only his best was good enough. He knew who he was, essentially, and that affected how he was before the world, before his captors. In a similar way, in these days, I believe we must foster and cultivate a personal spirituality that has our sense of identity at its core. At its core, there should also be a dependence on the Holy Spirit. That's what comes in the next few verses, for guidance, for wisdom, and for strength. Because we need God alongside us. You know, we need God alongside us, particularly when the times are difficult. God does call us to stand and to be, but thankfully, he gives us everything we need. God is calling us to never forget who we are, though, in these days. So part of God's presence and future kingdom is also a part of your identity. The last two verses look to the future. From verse 18, it says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing, there's that word again, children of God. We are part of God's present and future kingdom. The last few verses of this text shows us that in real and meaningful ways our lives can and should speak and get this prophetically to the world around us and to ourselves, in fact. Yeah, you don't feel like a prophet often. Most people don't wake up in the morning, put the socks on and feel like a prophet. Okay, you think that's some person with usually a bald head and usually wearing old clothes 2,000 years ago or more. But you know what? You are prophetic. You have an element of prophecy just in who you are to the world around. When they look at you, they see more than you. Or maybe they sense more, because that's the truth. Elsewhere in the Bible, in 1 Peter, it speaks of angels daring to look into these things. These things are amazing and wonderful, the salvation of man, and ultimately where we are going. And I mean women as well, of course. So the truth is, if you experience persecution or stress for being a follower of Christ, it's because you yourself act as a prophetic message to all creation. You do not have to annoy people all the time with opinions to do this. Just being who you are, trusting God and looking to follow his ways are enough. But we need to do that. Strong message here. Follow God in the days ahead, right? Gain strength enough, even if it's within you. Maybe it's even secretly. Decide to always follow God in your heart. In the days ahead, it might be difficult to do it openly. It might be. I'm not saying it will. In the near future, eventually it will. The Bible tells us that times will become more difficult towards the end. If we are in those times, or going close to it, we're going closer. There might be a time where you need to stay close to God and determine that. Never lose sight of that. Yeah? It might mean even doing it quietly. You know, the early Christians, when they grew massively during the Roman Empire. They grew the fastest, and it was the most authentic church ever. Right? It was illegal in the Roman Empire to be a Christian for much of that time, about 2,000 years ago. For much of that time. And yet the church grew from nothing to being a third. A third of the Roman Empire, they worked out, they secretly Christians during that time. It never grew so much. You know, Christian symbols and things like ichthus, you might have some fish around you, and things like fruit and grapes, all those things were part of the early church's way to communicate with themselves who they were when things got difficult. Things are becoming more difficult. They're not quite as difficult as that at the moment, but things are becoming more difficult, and we need to consider these things, or at least be aware of the potential for things developing. But be encouraged. Be encouraged, because God does not leave us alone. God has called you and called you for a purpose. And it's a wonderful purpose, you know. There's going to be many joys more in the days for you ahead. You might feel a bit old this morning, I don't know. You might feel quite full of life. But God has many things in store for you yet. And those things are good. And the best yet to come. So knowing who we are in God's eyes is vital for the believer. Here are just a few more encouraging truths. Here we go. Very, very quick now. John 1:12, I am God's child. John chapter 15, verse 15, I am God's friend. Romans 5, verse 1, you are justified. Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20. You've been bought with a price. You belong to God. Romans 28. I am assured that all things will work together for good. Romans 8, 35, 39. I cannot be separated from what? The love of God. Philippians 3:20, I am a citizen of heaven. Timothy, I like this one. 2 Timothy 1:7, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And let's just finish off with two extra ones. Here we go. Let's choose two extra good ones. I've got lots of verses here. Here we go. John 15, verse 16. I, that is you as well, I have been chosen and appointed to bear much fruit. And finally, Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's end the message then by looking back on the main points we've considered this morning. We are created in God's image.
God calls us his children. Amazingly, God planned and knew about us before we turned to him, and even before we were born. God is our rock, who gives our identity meaning. You know, the preacher might stand in front, myself, Paul, others, and we can convey to you the message. You can also pick up the Bible as well. But it is God who is the rock in our lives. God, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, the one of all wisdom, all goodness, and all power. But he asks us, come on board, be part of what I'm doing. We're here now because we've done that. That's amazing, isn't it? In all eternity, we are being spectacle for the whole of the universe. We're being watched by angels. I've actually got this idea that, you know, somebody once said, God may project all the things you've ever done, or he said, I hope God doesn't. But I've got this idea, and I believe it's good with you as well. God, at some point in eternity, it's certain, will project all the good that you did in Christ. Everything that you did for the right reasons. Every time you stood strong in the right way. All the good is in the right way. Personally, I believe all the wrong will be wrong. I'm very easy to forget things. And maybe it'll be like that in heaven as well. Carrying on, we are part of God's present and future kingdom in real and powerful ways. Our lives speak prophetically to the spiritual and the material world around us. We are part of something bigger than ourselves. Let us pray. Father, we commit to you the message that we have heard this morning. Please, the words of the preacher that are from you, may they be a blessing. Any words that are not from you, Lord, and are not useful, may they just fall aside, and may you be lifted up, and may you be glorified in everything, because you are the source of all hope. You are the source of all goodness in a world that can be confusing unless we have an identity in you. So bless us, Lord, here today. I pray now for those of us here who may be struggling with that sense of identity, that authenticity of who they are, in you even. And I pray that you would make that more real in the days ahead, that you would help them on that journey. And for those who are on that journey and finding it hard, I pray that you would give encouragement, Lord, maybe through your word today, through the words of Scripture, or maybe through some other thing. Glorify your name, Lord, in your saints and in your church, we pray. Amen. Let your living water flow. I'm a little bit thirsty, so I'm going to have some. But living water, of course, is the... What's living water a picture of, a metaphor of in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. And that we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? Let your living water flow. We've got to be open vessels as well. Are you an open vessel this morning? Let's open ourselves in worship. And let God's living water flow. Thank you.
have the words of the grace upon the screen, that'd be super. Thank you very much. So shall we say the grace to each other? Yeah? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.